So I saw Jesus with my natural eyes. He chose for me to see him. He chose for me to sit down and talk with him. That proved to me he was a man. He's not a spirit. He came to the brethren. He said, come, feel me. Flesh and bone. I'm not a spirit. Didn't he say that? You remember it was in the Bible. After Jesus was resurrected, didn't he say he's not a spirit? Then you think since then he turned into a spirit? Jesus is not a spirit. Jesus is a man. And because Jesus is a man, Jesus is here with us tonight like you are here. I can see you because you haven't reached that height yet in your development where you get invisible at your will. Okay? You believe you're going to be there one day, that you can be just the same flesh and bone, and you sit down here and you can move in the spirit and I can't see you. You don't believe it. Look, didn't your Bible tell you you're going to be like Christ?
Amen.
You don't want to be like Jesus? If you be like him, you're going to have to be like him. Right. And if he's here tonight, you're going to be sometimes there and I don't see you. And listen, it's not going to be up in that sky there. It's going to be here. You know why? You're going to reign and rule with him, are you? You're going to be priest and king with him, right? Then if you're going to be reigning and ruling with him, where is he going to be reigning and ruling? Up there or down here?
Here.
Down here. So you're going to have to be here. And if you are here and you're like him, then you're going to be like him when he resurrected his glorious body, his glorified body. When he resurrected, did they touch him? Did they feel him? Did they see him? Well, you're going to have to be just like that. And that's what the glorified body is. So therefore, you are waiting till your change comes, right? Amen. You're progressing towards that change. It's not a sit down wait. It's a get up and walk wait. Where you will be going on to be like. I want to talk to you about dominion and power. I want to talk to you about dominion and power tonight. And I'm going to show you everything from my Bible. That is, if I say anything that's not in the Bible, you grab me right away. Don't let me lose today. Promise me tonight? So we are all going to preach the message together. Okay. You're going to have fun then. Eh? Let's have fun with our Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's have some fun with our Bible. Turn to Genesis. That's where everything begins. Now, we don't have to be subject to sickness. We don't have to be subject to sickness, pain, and we are overcoming death. We are on the winning side. We are overcoming death. We are overcoming sickness. No more pain. No more sorrow on our side. That's where we're going. That's where we're heading for. Therefore, we must have dominion over earth. Now, before the night is out, you'll learn that earth doesn't only mean that dirt outside there. It doesn't only mean that sinful earth man out there, but it means you all. And so you must have dominion over your own being. And that's the first dominion you're going to have. And if sickness can come in your body and take away your peace and take away your joy, and you don't get and overcome it, then you are not free. You are still partially slave. This is what we're talking about. We want to overcome everything down here. Everything that God made and everything the devil tried to make, we're going to put it underfoot. Because this is the power and this is the dominion that God's given us through Jesus Christ. Now, unless you are liberated then, you cannot be in this position. And to be liberated, you must be directly under Jesus Christ as your head.
That's right.
You must not have any other head.
That's right.
Anything that have more than one head is a monster. You know the dragon. Amen. Anything has more than one head is a dragon, and God didn't make it. God made everything with one head, and that's a sign that the head is Jesus Christ. Amen. And in the natural, we do have heads. In the natural, like the boss that is over you at the work, like the man that is head at the college. Amen. And you obey them, but only in the natural. They can't rule you in the spirit, for your ruler in the spirit is already on the throne. He is Jesus Christ, Son of God. Hey. Hallelujah. But here is your problem. Sometimes our churches put up another head. Sometimes our churches put up another head. And the minister becomes head, and he wants to rule you spiritually. Tell you what to do. Tell you where to go. Tell you you can't go to this meeting, and you can't go to that meeting, because he is usurping the headship of Jesus Christ. And I can show it in the Bible. When Samson went down to Timnah and got himself a wife, that wife was a symbol of the church, and Samson was a symbol of Jesus Christ. And when he went away, before coming back to take the wife again, coming back for his bride, what he found? It wasn't his enemies that took his wife. Who took his wife?
His friend.
His friend. He's the best man. His companions took his wife. You know who is a companion? The ministry. The ministry are putting up themselves as the head of the church. The bishops. You see them coming. Bishop so-and-so and bishop so-and-so. You have to pay him enough honor, and you have to almost worship the man. I'm in this thing 27 years.
That's right.
Then, one day, I was in my room. Jesus was to meet me at 4 o'clock in the evening. I rushed in, for I was kind of late, rushed in the room, and Jesus was very sad. Say, "No, Lord, what have I done? Did I do something wrong?" He turned around on me with his finger like, said, "If you go to Bible school, you have rejected me as your teacher." Brethren, I thought Bible school was just going right along with Jesus. I didn't know Bible school was at variance with Jesus.
Mom.
Until Jesus started teaching me.
Yes, Lord.
And I tell you, brethren, every time that I come in contact with this ministry that is calling themselves head and bridegroom, and they have a thing named the bridegroom ministry, and we are the bridegroom and the church is the bride. And that is Catholicism, by the way, that came from the Roman Catholic Church. The father is supposed to be the bridegroom, and the bride is the nun and the church, and so on. And anytime you see that they are usurping or trying to take away the position of Jesus Christ, our Savior, that's your only head. Now, if then we must come into this dominion status. Let's read our Bibles to see if this is what God meant from the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it." Subdue the earth. Now it seemed to me that the earth trying to subdue man. and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Blessed be to God Almighty. Man lost his dominion. He gave it away to the devil. But the battle just started. The battle just started. Because man didn't start fighting yet. But God gave us something. You look in the third chapter of Genesis there. And God speak of in the 15th verse of our great hope. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Blessed be to God Almighty. The scriptures show that a battle was going to ensue. And the battle started with the woman. The women are under the greatest pressure. The women, the devil hate them, and the devil try to get the women in order to get the whole world. And the woman has a very, very difficult task, praise God. And the woman went to God and said, God, didn't you promise me that my seed is going to bruise the head off of the devil? And God said, yes, you remember his promise. He said, well, bring to pass that promise now. For the man, Cain, killed the seed that you gave me, Abel. And I have no seed. And since you say I must have seed, then let me have the seed. And God gave her a man named Seth. And the Bible said, from Seth man begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lucy. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Amen. It blesses my soul to think of man in every circumstance, under every adverse condition, hell all its host, holding you down. You call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Move hell, move earth, move circumstances, change defeat into victory. Call upon the name of the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. From Seth, man began to call. Isn't that pretty? Amen. It didn't say when he was going to stop calling. But I want to take you from the beginning right down to the end tonight. And he began to call upon the name of the Lord from Seth. And so this man, Adam, lost the battle. He lost upon a technical point. He couldn't have won. That's the truth. He was made as one man. God made him as one man. But he had two people in him. He had Adam and Eve inside of him. God made the man with womb and all the female organs inside of him. And the man was a dual person. And so God said, it's not good for this man to be alone. So he performed the first operation and slit his side, took out all the organs that he couldn't use, and put it in another body that he had made there. And he took out some part of the man too, so that Adam all his life was short of a rib. And he put it in Eve. And I always wondered, why did God have to take out a bone out of the man to put in the woman, when God could have made all her bones? But you see, God wanted to take out the man's blood and put in the woman. And the only way he could is to put the long bone in which the blood is made. Any of you do biology? Biology? Check it out. Your blood is made in the lung bone. Therefore, you put part of the marrow, the bone, the marrow that makes the bone, the blood, into the woman, so that the same blood Adam had was the same blood Eve had. So when he looked at her, what did he say? Can somebody remember the words that Adam said? This what? Flesh? Didn't he say that? Didn't he say that? Brother, well, if you read the King James Version alone and didn't check into the Hebrew, you would believe that God just took out the bare bone. But Adam said flesh had come out to him. The womb came out of him. Yeah. Yeah. He took out flesh too. Nah. You think it's the rib alone. But the Bible said, let me translate the Hebrew for you. It said, and he took out a rib and the curved organs. Curved organs. That's what and he put it in the woman. Anyhow, I was telling you why Adam couldn't win. And this man had a part of him out there. And the Bible said, when you love your wife, you must love her like that. You must love her like that. Now, no man was going to tell me that he was going to kill my wife and he wouldn't really have to contend with me unto death. You understand? That's the situation. That's what built in every man. And if you don't love a girl like that, don't marry her. Any of you guys have that intention? If you don't love a girl right down to the dirt she walk, you don't just leave her alone. Just love her to be a nice friend. Leave her alone. You see? don't marry her until you know that you know that there's nobody or anything else in the world like that woman to you, and she's going to be that for the rest of your life. Then when you really honor her, anything else you dishonor her. You know, some guys think this gal is too pretty to let her loose, and so he just greedy and marry her, yet he knows in his heart that he doesn't really want her like Adam wanted his wife. But unless you come to that stage that you really want your wife like Adam wants his, then you know what poor brother Adam went through. See, and out in such a marriage, there can be no divorce. All them people there, the devil deceiving them and wrecking lives and tearing up some of your Christian lives. The devil couldn't come face me with divorce. Man, he couldn't face me with a thing like that. He just couldn't face me with that. You see, I want my wife too much for that. I love her too much for him to face me with divorce. Amen. If any circumstance try to come between me and she, then that circumstance is in trouble with me. It's going to be moved out of the way very unceremoniously. You see, if it's a circumstance or another person, you see, that's how Adam felt. Well, what circumstance came between him? He was a living soul. And she was a living soul, and she went and died, killed herself. She committed sin, and that was death. And he looked in her face, and he saw for the first moment, he saw a death mark all over. His only hope was to go and take the fruit, deliver it. Give it to me, he said. And he ate it in order to come like her. The separating wall had already dropped between both of them. And the man's heart cried. And there was pain and crying for the first time. And God gave them the promise. Amen. He said, all right, she caused you to die. She's going to cause you to live. Hallelujah. He said, a woman caused you to die. He said, she's going to bring forth children until to wreck the devil and finish him. Yes, sir. Amen. You read your Bible good. The woman, Hannah, went and cried to God. And she said, give me a boy. give me a boy child. She wasn't interested in anything. You could see she didn't want him for herself. But she saw Israel in trouble. She couldn't help Israel. She said, God, give me a man to bring back Israel. Beloved, you read your Bible. Samuel was such a man. You never read like anything like him in the Bible except Jesus Christ. Man Samuel was so strong for God. He was so strong for God. He was offering sacrifice one day and the enemy attacked. And people run screaming, the Philistines are down on us. He didn't even notice them. He just keep offering sacrifice. Thunder and lightning just come down from heaven and cut them to pieces. Amen. The man was for God and God was for him like nothing you ever seen in your Bible. Hallelujah. And the woman therefore has her battle to fight and her victory to win. The woman came back again and she brought forth Jesus. Hallelujah. And when she brought forth Jesus, she knocked the devil to pieces. Turn your Bible with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and let's read there. We're talking about dominion and power. First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 21. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now we look at this 21.
Cometh also the resurrection after death.
You hear that now? Mm-hmm. Since man caused, it means humanity here, caused death to come into the world, humanity is going to bring forth deliverance to the world. Mm-hmm. There you are, right there. By man came also the resurrection of the dead. Go again, sister. Verse 22. For
Adam. For as in Adam
yeah.
all die,
yeah.
even so in Christ
shall all be made alive. Mm-hmm. Amen. That is, in Adam all of us die, and in Jesus Christ all of us are given life. You think it was only the Christians Jesus gave life to? Jesus gave life to every human being that is born on the face of the earth. All you need to do is to take it to have it. Just accept it and it's yours. Because he has already given it to you. Amen. Yes. She's going to read the translation here by Williams, right?
For sin, it was through a man that death resulted. It was also through a man that the resurrection of the dead resulted. For just as all men die by virtue of their descent from Adam, so all such as are in union with Christ will be made to live again.
Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Now, if you see this clearly, you will see now where we will get our dominion and our power through Christ Jesus. Now, therefore, Christ Jesus must be head in order that we will come into this realm of power and of dominion. But when are we going to begin? Because to me it seems that Christians are as much beat down as the people of the world. Amen. You're beat down at home, you're beat down out the street in your work, you're beat down in church. Amen. Quiet. Now, it would seem to me that something is wrong, not with the world, not with your home, not with your workplace or on the street, but with you. That's where the problem lies. If you're being beat down and you got a charter of liberty from Jesus Christ, you should walk with your head high and you should be a winner. Hallelujah. And when I say a winner, I just mean a winner from post to post. I don't mean you should lose someplace and win someplace. Amen. I go into examination and didn't know, never read, never heard of that part of the translation I got to put from Spanish to English, and I never heard it in my life. And I said, well, God, you'll have to help me right here. And you know what God did? God put the teacher before me. I saw a vision, and the teacher just speak out the words, and I just write it down and then get a first class pass in Spanish. So you don't have to lose. My boy took an examination twice and failed. The first time he failed, the second time he failed worse, and came to the bottom of the class. We lay our hands on his head and send him back to examination a few days after. 2 days after. He came at the top of the class. When the teacher came wide-eyed, he said, I don't understand. So what did you do? They thought we had got into the papers and somehow got on top of that, and they were baffled. They thought we had got the papers and stolen them or something. And they said, a minister, he come to me and said, what happened? What did you do? I say, if I tell you, you're not even going to believe, although you are a minister. He said, no, you tell me. I said, we put our hands on his head. Amen. And we pray over it and believe God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have to be beaten, child. God said, whatever you desire, ask. And you should start now. Don't wait for tomorrow or next week. Start now. Amen. You feel your head hurt. You send off a letter to this big minister, so and so, pray for me. You send off another letter to the other one. Send me anointed cloth. You're disgracing Jesus.
Is it true?
Because if Jesus is in here with you, how come you send God over there for anointed cloth?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't say you don't need help. But you call the other good people around you who believe Jesus and call them to help. If you're in a place you can't get any help, send for help by all means. But you're all still spiritual slaves. Still spiritual slaves. You want me to show you it in your Bible?
I believe.
Turn your Bible. Turn your Bible on to Revelation. Revelation 17. Still spiritual slaves. And probably you didn't know that it is slavery. Praise be to God. Amen. Slavery. Let's see now. Revelation. No, not 17. It's 18. 18. Revelation 18. Verse 13 says, and cinnamon and odors. These are all the different things, you know, that they are trading. They trade in the churches. And cinnamon and odors, anointments, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour. All those have spiritual meaning, you know. Wine. The very blood of Jesus Christ, and oil, the Holy Ghost, and fine flour, the Christians, and wheat, Christians, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. That's what was being bought and sold. Souls of men. See? So many of you, men will preach you false doctrines and preach you sweet doctrines, pat you on the shoulder with a nice doctrine to hold you in the church. And when they hold you there, you get nothing day in, day out. You're sick, you have to go to the doctor. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, 27 years. 27 years. We have never spent a night in a hospital. We have never been to the doctor. We have three children. They are men now. Amen. They grew up without doctors petting them like you. You see. And because we believe God, we get sick sometimes. Sure, we get sick sometimes. Amen. And we could run after the doctor. You see. And I'm not condemning those who have to go to the doctor. Because if you don't get healed, you better go. Sure. But you ought to get healed. Amen. Because the Bible says you must get healed. The Bible says the life and energy in the church belong to you. He called it the children's bread. Can I give it to the dogs? That's what Jesus said to the woman. Speaking, giving her an analogy of the power and the life which is in his body, which belongs to God's people. It's your food. You're supposed to have been eating on that.
That's right.
And you should have been keeping healthy.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Messiah. But we have been, deceived because we have to be kept, you see. I don't know if I should talk everything, but if I have been going on with God and I really fall from the standard, amen, and I would have to get my people to feel that, well, Paul, healing is not for now, or probably, you know, you can be healed and not healed, and it's your fault. If I pray for you and you don't, let me tell you something. I pray for a man that was dead. He didn't know anything about it. He was a devil before he died. And he got up. That wasn't even in order. Because as a Christian, you must bring back. And yet we bring him to hell and take out this devil-bound man. Put him back on his feet. Yeah. We prayed for people who don't even know what we're saying. And they're healed.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
amen. I went out to the hospital in Dallas. No, it wasn't Dallas. It was Lubbock, Texas. A boy shot through the head. Man, he just smashed his toe in a restaurant. He turned around and shot him right through his head. There was no hope for him. They had him turned down on his face like this for a number of days. A woman, talk about women. I would love to see women really doing their job.
Yes,
I tell you, the whole city would be resurrected. Because it's women that carry gospel, you know. It is women that when they take up the telephone, instead of blabbering and chatting and talking irrelevancy, they let loose gospel. It's women that really carry the burden of the news. And then the men come up and do the hard work. But let's go back to it. Woman, her heart was hurt over it. Heart was hurt over it. How this boy, he didn't do anything, and how this man shot him through his head. And so she asked me, please go pray for him. I don't know the boy, but because of the woman, I went to the hospital. There he's turned down on his face. I asked the nurse, can I speak to him? The nurse said, go on, you know. Think I'm a kook, a madman. Man is lying down for 5 days unconscious, and I want to go talk to him. So I went down under him, get down on my knees. He was turned down like this. I said, look, I know you can't talk to me, but you can hear me. I said, I know you can hear me, and I'm so and so from Jamaica. I want to pray for you, and I want you to make a covenant with God. I said, you have lived a useless life. You will die if you don't make this covenant. I say, I want you to make a covenant and tell Jesus, if he'll make you live, that you'll serve him for the rest of your life.
Yes.
And you'll live. And I prayed for him and walked out of the hospital. And when I reached the door, the boy said, thank you. I wasn't going to go away with a doubt. I wasn't going away with a doubt, so I turned back. And I talked the same thing right over again and prayed for him again. And this time, his mouth trembled like that, and he said, "Thank you." Boy's alive. He's alive. See, he's alive. Made a covenant with God. Well, I'm saying that to say this. Never look at the exterior circumstances and never believe that you are beaten because things are bad down here. For up there, things is not bad. Hallelujah. You are dealing not with carnal things, but you're dealing with spiritual things which make carnal things.
That's right. That's right.
Then you can turn around a bull. Yeah. Brother Branham was going across the field and a bull attacked him, and he stopped the bull in Jesus' name and tell him, "Turn back." And the bull turned back. You don't have to accept the things that are going on down here as being so permanent, because your God is the one that is permanent and all this is right. Yes, sir. All this that's going on down here is trash. They cannot come overcome you, and they cannot be on top. You should be on top. And I'm going to tell you why. The big God is up here. I'm drawing it on the board now. And I'm drawing God as a shining light. This is God. And from God, here is Jesus Christ. And from Jesus, here is the Holy Ghost. And from the Holy Ghost, here you are, spirit, soul, body. And when you down in the body here, you ask God, say, "God, change this circumstance for me. This avalanche is coming down upon me to kill me, to destroy me. Change it. Stop it." Immediately, your God. Hallelujah. He said, if you being carnal and human, and your little baby called to you and asked you for something, if you would take a serpent and give him for a fish, or a stone and give him when he's dying for a piece of bread, your child, no. No, no. Then why should you think that your God would do that? And so when you call to your God immediately sends down the deliverance. But the deliverance comes in the Spirit. For God is a Spirit. Hallelujah. And all things that must come to you must come to you through your Spirit. Hallelujah. So in your spirit, God has placed the thing that you have asked for. Because in the first place, it must have been God who put it in your mind to ask. And when you ask, you have. Don't go away and say you didn't get. Because you lie on your God. For your God said, everyone that asketh, receiveth. Chapter 7, verse 8, Matthew. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Your God would never allow you to ask and you don't receive. So, if you receive, where is it? It's in the Spirit. And if it is in the Spirit, you have a block right here, and your block is called soul. Your soul is a conscious mind. You're conscious of everything around you through your mind, working your eyes and everything. So your conscious mind, your emotional life, your desires, and your will are the four areas of your soul that must come into conformity with the Spirit so that the Spirit can come through. come right through into the physical realm. Hallelujah. The most things we want, we just think in our hearts that we want it, and next day God presents it to somebody to give us. We know that we just ask Father and forget it, and He sends it. See? Because we never want anything unless it is to glorify God with. If I want a new pen, it's to write letters for God. If I want a bicycle, it's to ride on God's business. So when you are dedicated to God, there is nothing that you do that will be for self or for sin. So everything you need, God will supply. Hallelujah. Amen. So we see then, to gain this dominion, you must let your spirit come into your soul. Come on, let's see if we can pray the Lord's Prayer, the first two verses. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now what did you ask for? That last part. God's will must be done in your earth being, your body and your soul, which is earth, just like it is in the spirit.
Yeah. That means I was out of God.
Yeah. Okay. Let's explain that a little. Suppose earth, suppose the only meaning that earth had was the dirt outside there. Okay. Okay. All right. Let me pray the prayer now and you tell me if I'm right. Father God, let your kingdom come and let your will be done on those sinners out there, just like it is in your glorious heaven up there. Then God would turn around to you and say, then what about you? Shouldn't God's will be done in you first before it's done out there? Since you are nearer to God. Amen. So when you pray, the first part of that prayer means you first. Then it means out there. That's the depths of it. But you are on the surface as far as God's concerned. The first God's will to be done in earth must be done in a Christian. Hallelujah. And then from us He's going to manifest Himself to them. Ye are epistle, seed, and red of all those sinners. If you don't show them Jesus, they'll never see Jesus. For they've seen everything in the natural. And you are the only manifestation of Jesus that is in the natural. Did you ever think of that? That the people of God is the only manifestation of Jesus Christ that is in the natural. You look at the natural man, what he's doing with Jesus. You notice the Jesus Christ superstar thing. You notice the wickedness that they carry on there. They don't know Jesus. That's why they're doing it, just so you can't blame them. They think that's Jesus. They think they're representing Jesus. You are the only representative of Jesus. Amen. And this is why we should command the devil not to manifest through us. So that we only manifest Jesus and don't let the devil use us. You see, because if the devil can get a Christian's body to use, he would prefer that 10 times more than he'd prefer than using 10 sinners. Any one Christian, he would prefer to use more than 10 sinners. And when the devil finishes with you, you lose all the energy and the life. You even forget some of the scriptures that you used to know. You know that? Because the memory you have in the spirit is a godly memory. The Bible says He will bring all things to your remembrance. And when you lose the spirit, you lose even some of the scriptures you used to know by heart. Hallelujah. 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 Bless His name. And so, we see a situation here that I want from tonight, all of you gathered here, to begin to ask God. And when you ask Him, close your eyes and see God sitting on His throne. And see God call one of the mighty archangels, Michael or Gabriel, and say, send down and give Sister Washington, give Sister so-and-so what she asked for. Glory to God. Amen. When you start thanking Him for it, you know what happens? The mouth of your soul open wide. And as the angels see it open, it just widens. Amen. Because we are shut up when we doubt. When we don't believe, when we're looking with the natural eyes, we're shut up. Glory to God in the heart. Glory to God in the heart. Some of us had good fathers. And if you didn't have a good father, just imagine what a good father is. A good mother. You said, Mom, could I have so and so? And she said, okay, I will give you. You know? I'll give you. And from the time she said that, you're just happy. Bless be to God Almighty. This is how God wants it to be. Amen. When you ask Him, you see it done, because He calls His angel immediately and send it, and the thing is immediately in the spirit, and you just start praising Him for it. And this is yours. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It is yours. And you begin to be liberated. Be liberated from the slavery, from the spiritual slavery that has been binding us. You begin to be liberated from those who are trying to usurp Jesus' position and say they are the head. And you begin to look to one Jesus. You begin to shut your door and go in with Him. Hallelujah! Can remember the times when I was just dying to get away from the human company to run inside and relax with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah! 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 Itaporo mushakayando. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Then you become sons of God. You're not sons of God, you know, unless you walk in your sonship. Did you know that you're not sons of God unless you walk in your sonship? Let's look at the Bible. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And we read around verse 12.
But as many as received Him, to them gave He power. To become the sons of God.
You receive exousia, authority, to become. Now, if you were sons, you wouldn't get power to become sons. When you receive Jesus, you're not a son of God. You only receive the power to become sons. Isn't that right? So then you ask me, who are the sons? Turn to Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
As many as are led by the Spirit of God,
they are the sons of God. Thank you, Jesus. tonight you'll have battles to come here. Something must be wonderful happening here tonight. We have battles from morning. Others have been calling us saying they had battles. They tried to pray for us and the devil hit them. And there were battles. Hallelujah. And some of you must have had battles in coming. Hallelujah. But you obey the Spirit of God. Now if you continue to obey the Spirit of God, you will be sons of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So to as many as receive him, them gave he power to become. But when you exercise that power, what happens? You become. So those who walk in the Spirit are sons of God. So you don't follow be respecter of persons. You know what I'm telling you? I don't even see the churches as being sons of God, the churches as bringing up sons of God. Because the church tell you, you are a wayward sheep if you try to obey Jesus and don't obey them.
That's right. They put you out, though.
If you don't cooperate with their program, you are a sinner. Hallelujah. And this is slavery. It's taking you into bondage. Because Jesus Christ set you free. Nobody should take you as a prisoner. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to touch somebody's toe now. The Lord just showed me something. They take the word of God and they preach the word of God to you and they interpret the word of God to you. First of all, they tell you, don't obey the law. You are not under the law. You mustn't keep such and such a law as in the Old Testament. Yet they turn around and tell you, you must keep a certain law because it suits them. So they say you must give tithe just like Jacob, 1/10. Of your, and he said, if you don't give it, you're a sinner. Mm-hmm. Amen. Then how come all of a sudden there was no law but grace, and I was under Christ, and whatever Christ tell me, that's the law for me. And then all of a sudden when it comes to money, I put a law on you.
Yes, but lay it on me.
Because when it comes to money, sister, I can check up how much each person get in according to where they're working, what the job is, and I can check a long list and I can divide them 10 and say, now if I press these people, I will get so much per month, per week. And that is why when certain brothers sin, I can't put him out because he's a heavy tithe payer.
Amen.
He pays a lot of tithe and so he's a valuable member. And they said, don't you even touch his toe. Bishop call you. You say, you better careful. We're giving you a good church now. Those people can pay tithes. No, don't you touch Brother Sons at all, you know. He's the man that pays the most tithes here. And you find the most devilish people pay the most tithes in order to hold their position.
Sure.
Hallelujah. But we are free. And he whom the Son has liberated is liberated indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come not again under the yoke of bondage, said the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You don't have prosperity financially. It's because your financial plan is bad before God. Your money is desecrated and not consecrated. You cannot, you dare not consecrate your money to God and then tell me you don't have prosperity. You get 1 cent. Put it before God. God, I am yours. This cent is yours. Now you direct me how to spend it. And when you walk down that devil's mile, you know, Not the miracle mile, but the devil's mile. I'm calling Don Weir to set all the stores with all the gimmicks to catch you. You have Jesus in your mind. When you see something and you like it, say, Jesus, would you want me to have this?
That's right. That's God.
It's all right. It's not just because it's pretty and I'm going to be the best dressed cat around.
That's right.
But I'm going to. Is this what Jesus wants?
Is
it practical dress? Is it good for me? Is it going to keep me warm? Or is it good? Not just because everybody is wearing it. I'm going to pay all the price for it. And they know you are not wise. So they put on a big price on the thing that everybody is buying. And the other good things, they push it on the back shelf. I generally go to the back shelf. Praise be to God Almighty. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be to God. We are not deceived. We should not be. All power and all dominion is given unto us. Now, I want to show you that in your Bible. If you are sons of God, then turn your Bibles with me around to John 17. John 17, Jesus praying. And verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine. Now this is what I want you to say with your children. This is what I want you to say with your husband. This is what I want you to say with your money. This is what I want you to say with your house, with your goods. Some people worship their property too much. And I want you to dedicate them all, and they will be consecrated before God from now onward. So if you have the last cent and God said, give it all, you give it all, and you feel very happy and relieved. You obey the Lord. And no, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee. Remember I told you that the only manifestation of Jesus down here is you?
Yes.
Yes. Jesus Christ is in you, reconciling the world unto himself. Yeah. And Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even so as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. Many people are expecting to be raptured off and leave the world in this condition. Amen. We expect God's going to use us to deliver the world. Amen. The only hope for the world is you. This world would be destroyed tomorrow morning if no Christian was here.
Said,
Jesus prayed, said, don't take them out of the world, God, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil, you know, of the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them to thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Did you hear that? Just as God Almighty sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, think it over. Figure it out. When God is in heaven and God decides to send Jesus into the world to save the world, Jesus says, as you, Father, send me, so I send them. Somebody said, send who? That must be Peter, James, and John. The Bible, Jesus, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So you are in it. You are in it. Remember, no color, no class. You are just smack in the midst of it. And any time you walk down the street with your head raised high and know that Jesus Christ is in you and that you are a representative of Jesus, you will stop doing anything that is out of order. You'll begin to live like Jesus Christ himself. Hallelujah. Turn to Matthew. Matthew 28. Praise God. Matthew 28 chapter. Let's see, from verse 18 I want you to read.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Praise God. Now, the first power that Jesus talked about, he used the word, in the Greek it was said, exousia, meaning authority. That's in John 1:12. But this power, he spoke a different word. He said, dunamin. And this word means explosive dynamite power. Amen. That all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, and I send you. Now turn to Acts 1. Read from the 8.
You shall receive power.
Yes.
After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world.
Praise God. Jesus is here saying, now you shall receive explosive dynamite power. And this is our authority and the kingdom and the dominion of this world is in our hands. Now, I want you to read one more, a few more scriptures. Turn back to Daniel. Take, first of all, chapter 2 and verse 44. Go ahead.
And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kings, and it shall stand forever.
Forever. The kingdom of God is going to break in pieces the kingdoms of the world, like a stone cut out of the mountain without hand rolling down into Babylon, going to break in pieces the kingdom of the world and consume it and overcome it. And this is what you're called for, to come right back to where God had given Adam, and Adam lost out. Well, turn your Bibles again to 7. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 18. Somebody read for me.
But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever.
Praise God. Now, the part of the kingdom that you must take first is your own body and life. Your own spirit, soul, and body is part of God's kingdom. Did you know that? Well, turn your Bibles then to, all right, let's finish with Daniel, and then I take you to Luke. Okay, I'll prove that point to you in Luke. Look at the Daniel 7 and verse. Okay, all right. The 27, verse 27. Read for me.
And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints.
Shall be given to who? The people of the saints of the Most High. Yes.
Whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him.
And obey him. Good. Praise God. Now, turn your Bibles to Luke 17 and 20. and 21.
And when he demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall..."
In other words, you cannot see it with your natural eyes. Yes?
"Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you."
Amen. So where is this kingdom coming first? Within us. It said, "Thy kingdom come." It's right in here. See, God started the kingdom, spirit, soul, body. He started by putting the blood in your soul, which is the life. You are dead, and he take the blood and give you an injection of life, and you come alive. You come alive, you start crying for more life. He give you the Holy Ghost in your spirit. And your spirit become perfect with the Holy Ghost. And then he give you the Christ in your soul, and the Christ expand and grow and develop in you like a fetus developing in a mother. Yeah. And when Christ comes forth, a resurrection from your soul, he's going to resurrect the whole creation around you. I can show you that in your Bible too. So that is the way that Jesus is coming forth in you. Now, we see therefore that the dominion and the kingdom belong to us. And we are being robbed by the devil. And all I'm telling you, I want to teach you to get on top of every circumstance, every sickness, every devil from now on. You know what's our problem? You'd hardly believe it if I tell you. We are divided.
Yes, that's true. That's right.
We are divided by these denominations and these churches.
Amen.
No church should divide you from your brethren. Anywhere. I don't care which church they go to. If they are your brethren, you should meet together. And then the Lord said, when we come together, he'll be there in the midst as a brother with us. See. And I'm telling you, we are going to have to move now. Because things are going to happen that are going to move us. And it will be pretty late for some. Yes, sir. God tell me, if some have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof from such turn away, and I know that many of us are not turning away from them, but we are going more and more into them and even seeking offices in the church system. And the church system is dead. You believe me, from the Pentecostal church right back. From they jump and shout, and I have been a Pentecostal minister for years, and I see people jumping and shouting, and the devil jumping and shouting in them. And I rebuke the devil, and he knocked them down flat on the ground here and sanctify them, and they get up and run off. Take back their devil and run out of the church. Right in the Pentecostal movement, there is people are being filled with the devil, and people are saying they are filled with Holy Ghost. Anytime you see people making contention in a church, carrying news from one place to the other, destroying people, I know some ministers who can never talk the truth, even for 1 minute. Everything is a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie, and I'm distressed and wonder and ask God what's happened. They have a wrong spirit. And all this mix up and this fighting and going on is because the people are not walking with the Lord. If you're walking with Jesus, everybody else who is walking with Jesus is one with you, regardless of where he joins himself to or where he goes to church. It doesn't make a difference. You'd find the oneness. But everybody, even among the churches, is trying to win this church to them.
Yes.
They're trying to win you over to their church. The truth is, everybody should go to all the places of worship that is speaking the truth and receive your blessing anywhere. I don't believe in walkabouts, that you should be a walkabout. But I do believe that you need to get the life when God sent it. Because according to the church denominational nationalism, they stopped the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher that God sent. You can't teach in their church unless you take papers with them. Amen. God send you. So the people of God, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And this is what God is saying. As long as I live, you won't see me form any church. Yeah. You won't see me form anything like that. Because I'm already part of the church. And every one of you who belong to Jesus is already part of the church. And if you come here to worship, we are just part of the church meeting together. We can meet anywhere else as the Lord lead us. Amen. Blessed be to God. But we must meet together in order to practice and move in the gift of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit. And if the church is not moving in the gifts, and if the rulership of the church is not up there, if it's down here, so that when the gift move out there, you shut up, sister. We don't want you to say anything more. Be silent. One night I was in a service, a woman spoke in tongues, a man got up and said, sit down, shut up that spirit over there.
When I had to go in the bathroom and praise the Lord and come back, he said he was the hell of the Holy Ghost. That's how my feet.
Praise be to God. I tell you then that we have to move in divine order. And anything that is divine is order. And anything that is not divine is out of order. In other words, no matter how orderly your order is, if it is not of God, it is a disorder before the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. The worst disorder is an orderly disorder. Because an orderly disorder is a rebellion. When you get men marching together, bram, 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 down the street, yes, that is a disorder. That's very orderly. They are on their head, but not God. And I tell you, I want to see a people moving under God. Amen. Moving in the Spirit. And this is what I want to see you people doing. This is what I am laboring for. My reward is not from you or down here. But I know who sent me. And that's why I'm here and I'm seeking God's people. And I can come into any place and preach the word of God. And all God's people will listen to me. And those who are not of God won't listen to me. Hallelujah. So you hear me. The word of God, I want to take you back around to Revelation. And show you the deliverance of the church. Look in the 12th chapter of Revelation. And let me translate it for you while I read it. It says here, and there was war in heaven. Verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Let me translate that for you. And there was war in the spirit, soul, and body of man. That's God's dwelling place, heaven. Can you understand that? Mm-hmm. Where Jesus is, what? Tis heaven there. Mm-hmm. Is Jesus in you? Amen. Well, you are a heaven then. Well, that's the only heaven where there is war. For up there where God dwells, there is no war.
Yes,
so this is referring to the spirit, soul, and body of man. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in man, spirit, soul, and body for the devil. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. Mm-hmm. He was cast out into the earth, into the natural carnal man.
Mm-hmm.
One man is called heaven, and the other man called earth.
Mm-hmm.
And his angels were cast out with him. And he heard, and I heard a voice saying, in the spirit, soul, and body of man, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom of God is where?
Within him.
Within him. and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. If I have a testimony of you, sister, that you are a true child of God, and I go out the street and see you cursing somebody, I don't believe what I hear. I believe what I know. Mm-hmm. I believe that the devil has got a hold of you, right, and use you and is accusing you.
Yes,
so
right,
that anybody comes up, look at you and say, she's no Christian. The devil accuses you.
So
the devil manifests through a person, and when he's finished, he tells the other people that they are not of God.
Mm-hmm.
But I know better than that. If I have your testimony, I know you are of God. Follow me? So the devil couldn't tell me what you are if I know what you are. I refuse to accept what the devil tells me.
That's right.
When I know what you are.
That's right.
You come and you chop my hair off, I wouldn't believe it. Because I know that the devil will use a person if you are not on your double watch.
That's true.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how I found that out?
Hmm.
By being not on my double watch.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
that's
him.
Right.
That's yeah.
That's
you learn by experience.
That's right.
And so I learned by experience that I am just as much of God, for God, as I am tonight, as I was then, and yet at some time I wasn't manifesting right.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to be good, but you weren't good because the devil got a hold of you momentarily, and you catch yourself and you are able to straighten up again and come back.
See,
praise be to God. So here is the situation. You see, now the question is asked, how did they do it? How did they overcome him? How did they get the devil out? By the blood of the Lamb and what? Hallelujah. The word of their testimony. You know, what word of the testimony you think you're talking about? You're jumping up into service and say, thank God Jesus saved me one day. That's not your testimony. You're talking about Jesus. When you get up and tell about Jesus, you're telling what Jesus has done. But we want to hear what you do. We want to see you live the life to glorify Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
That's your testimony. And so you overcome the devil by that testimony. Because when you start shining forth like a bright light,
mm-hmm,
the angels of God come down and help you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And if your testimony then is not of you, it's not you talking about yourself, but it is the spirits of God testifying of you. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. How did Gabriel know that this man Daniel was a man greatly beloved of God? How did the angel know? He got a testimony from God about Daniel.
Yes, he did.
Amen. You better know it too. That the heavenly host know you pretty well.
That's right.
Hell know you too.
Yes.
A devil one time came to my wife and said, tell your husband, he's not going to win this time.
Mama.
Amen. He knows that I used to win.
Mama.
Amen. Say, you better believe it, that you overcome by the life you live, the light that you show. Spirits don't care what you say with your mouth. If you could talk all them pretty talk with your mouth and just live bad, they would just laugh at you. That's the girl. When they hear you testify, they say, praise the Lord. That's what they want. They want you to testify when you can't live. But when you live the life, they're afraid of you. Your testimony is in another realm. The glory of God shines from you and they can't stand you. Yeah. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. This is the victory. Even your faith that overcomes the world. He said, children, he said, fear not. for I have overcome the world.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. Jesus speaking in the 17th chapter of St. John, he said, I have overcome the world.
Mm-hmm.
You don't worry. It's already done. Your victory is in the spirit realm. And you can reach up there and take it up. And let me explain that point to you just 1 minute before I close. The salvation which you have, how did you get it? It was given before you were born. In other words, Jesus Christ died for your sins 2,000 years ago before you were born. Don't you see? You only got it when you accepted it.
That's right.
It was given to you a long time, but you only got it when you accepted it.
Mm-hmm.
Your Holy Ghost. How did you get it?
That's
when you accepted it.
Right.
It was there all the while.
Right.
Well, you're overcoming grace. You're going to get it when you believe it and accept it. And know, just know that you're walking down the street and a host of God's angels walking with you to give you the victory today, and you're not going to be overcome by any circumstance. Hallelujah! Praise be to God in the highest. Messiah, finally, sons of God. In Romans 8, I'm not reading it, from the 19th to the 23rd verse tells you that the whole creation groans and waits for you to overcome so that they might live again. The birds, the plants, the animals, all are under the bondage of corruption, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of the body. Hallelujah. You see, the spirit is already redeemed if you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Then the soul next is going to be redeemed. And when the soul is redeemed, just speak the word and deliver the body from corruption. Hallelujah. And we won't die. Some will, but some of us won't. For we are just a little while from the coming of Jesus Christ within the human soul. You hear me? Right now Christ is coming in you. He's there already. He's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And all that is happening to you in this life, he's getting bigger, you're getting smaller. He must increase, you must decrease. Glory! Hallelujah. When Jesus come forth in you, then you'll come forth. And Jesus tried to explain that principle to Mary. He said, Mary, it's not at the last day that I'm going to resurrect. I am the resurrection. And you go about boasting that I have Jesus. Then what you have? You have your resurrection inside you. It's growing. It's getting bigger. Hallelujah. Paul looked at the brethren, he said, I travail again with you that Christ may be formed in you. Like a fetus formed in a woman and get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until it has to come out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what we mean, the church is pregnant with Jesus. You stop worrying and stop fussing of yourself about church position. Stop worrying about that thing that's going on with down there, that's Babylon. Because the Holy Ghost people have long ago stopped following the Holy Ghost, they are following the Catholic Church. All the churches are following Babylon. Escape for your life. Turn and follow Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Any questions now? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Kurava Mayanda.
The other night, at one, I mean, you said it was later than 1974, according to your calculations, but you didn't give us the calculations that you had one in.
Well, we know that time, man has never had time accurate. The calendar we have now is called the Roman calendar. And the Roman calendar was wrong in that they didn't make the calendar at the time. It was made after 400 years after. And so they had to check time backwards to see when it was that Jesus was crucified. Now, they could measure it, but if they knew what year of Pontius Pilate, what year of Herod that Jesus Christ was crucified. But to figure that, they would have to figure other things. They would have to look up records to see if they could find old records of the Roman Empire to know exactly when that happened, in what pinpoint the year. And the Roman Catholic Church got a priest, I think his name was Demetrius or something like that, and got him to make this calendar we have here, and he made a mistake and they didn't find it out. So in this present day now, look what happened. When was Martin Luther? What date was Martin Luther? 15, all right. So then that at least 1100 years passed before any light started coming into the church. And then it took a long time after that before church history, 1600 years in the Renaissance, you see. That's when they were writing the Bible and begin to really study the word, that men begin to count backwards now, and found out that the time when they set the year of one, that Herod was already dead. And now they couldn't find out how many years after he crucified Jesus he lived. So you find that it had to be a lot of back calculation to find out really what year, how much we missed. And scholars are fighting between 5 and 20 years. Some scholars say it's 5, some say it's 6, some say it's 12, some say it's 20. But it's been between 5 and 20 years. So they really don't know what year this really is. We are saying it is 1974, but there's one thing that all the scholars agree on, that it is not 1974. You see, it's not 1974.
It's not?
It's definitely not. Everybody knows that, but the government don't want to touch the calendar again to try to straighten it up. Because they can't straighten it. Nobody knows where. You see, in other words, the most they could do now is make another mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You see. And so that's why they have not touched it. But all those who study their Bible know that it's not 1974. Then, pardon me, on top of that, there's another confusion that God showed in Daniel, that 3.5 years is equal to 1,260 days in Revelation. Now, the only way 3.5 years equal to 1,260 days exactly is if each year is 360 days, which is what God gave the Jews. So their year was 360 days. And if you subtract 5 days from 1,974 years, you get 28 years difference. Drop off.